Welcome to Bounce with Zanella Morrison, the podcast that has conversations with extraordinary, ordinary people. So we are on to the last episode with Nontlantla, and it has been good. It's been goodish. This is the last sprint. Yo, later on we talk about submission. I'm currently in an environment that is very different to what I'm used to. Look, I'm bouncing into it, and am having to be in a way that I'm not used to being. Using the word submission is a bit lazy. It's not the right word because it's a little bit more complex than that. We will use the right language when we have the time. This is not it. But for now, just listen and let me know what your thoughts are. Ping me on LinkedIn and don't stress about referencing the show. Just write whatever you want to refer to, whatever you want to say. I will link it to the right episode or the right conversation. And yeah, so Nontlantla. I don't know whether we wanted to have this conversation, and we might as well. Like, we've been flowing for an hour and we are still going to go. It looks like it. But there's also a role that I think as a woman, and I say a black woman, in the cultural context of where we grew up in, where you should know your place, you know, and this is probably the latest lesson that I've learned. And I am using it, by the way. Don't bash me because I'm playing with this lesson. It is fun where you have to, and we're on a podcast, so you have to like put your hands together and clap them together. You know, when you're in front of a man and you sort of like go, yes, 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 but ndlovu, yes, babu ndlovu, yes, Mr. So-and-so. And then the other day I was listening to a podcast and I don't know what country it was in. I think it was, it must have been like one of the Scandinavian countries. And they still had the same thing where women had a sense of having to be respectful. You know, in how they referred to a male person. And this is also, by the way, something that I lacked. I did not have the ability to do that humble thing. And I've never had, even when I was little, where you like clap your hands together and you sort of like bend your shoulders and you show a sign of respect towards another, a black male, because that's what happens at home, right?
An elder. Yeah.
And by the way, it's not always an elder. Even undanga, like the person that's your age, somehow because they're a male, they expect you to be respectful towards them. You know, it's a cultural thing. I work literally now in a space where we literally refer to each other by each other's surnames.
Okay.
And we ask for permission and we say, Buti so and so, Mr. so and so, Babu so and so, which is like father so and so, right? And it is fascinating for me. Look, I'm enjoying doing it, although it must sound horrible because I'm always stumbling over myself trying to work out which one is the surname, which one is the name. But there's also still a cultural influence that has got remnants in the organization. I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman who works for an amazing company and he's been awarded by this other company, Women Empowerment Leader of the Year. Right? But I know for a fact that the women that work for him, he treats them exceptionally well because they are subservient to him. And he hires women who know their place, right? Who know that he is the father of the department, and he is, so they treat him well, and he chooses them and he works with them and nurtures them because he's a nurturer. Now, I didn't have that concept of needing to be nurtured at work. So I would not work in his department because I don't need to be nurtured. I'm nurtured. That part happened and it stopped at some point in my life. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but it is a tough thing. And I'm not sure if it has its place in the workspace, when we have to still conform to these cultural norms that existed outside of the world, or should we be bringing them in and should they be part of our daily lives? I'm a little bit lost on this, but I'm playing with it, but I'm lost.
I think it depends. So, for me, my father's a Zulu man and I will not stand and give my father food. I will kneel and I enjoy doing that. It's embedded in me. It's my sign of respect. It does not mean, and I'm a feminist, I just want to say, because what we do is we put these titles, and when you say I'm respectful and somebody says, but you're a feminist, how? So this was not done as a punishment. It is how we were raised, and I'm a process person, and I love to respect culture, but it's not done in a way that puts me down. I got to enjoy that I respect my dad, but I can stand when I don't like something. I'm able to say, Baba, I don't. So he created that environment where I could speak my mind, but I could do me. I know that it sounds a bit controversial in a sense that you're saying, but you're kneeling. It's not that he demanded it. It's a choice I made. Because for me, I was like, this is how, you know, where you want to be different and you, there's choices in life and people are like, but you've got all these qualifications and you've done this in corporate. How? This is me. I am my father. I am a daddy's girl and I love doing that. It's not by
force. Do you
do
the same for your mom?
Mom died when I was about 16. I'm trying to think. I think we did that for both my parents.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And do you expect to do the same or remnants of that in the corporate space?
No, I will never do that. Never in corporate.
Aren't the remnants of that then still there? When your father is at work, is he still not the man that needs to be respected by black women in that way?
No,
saying he's not, asking. Yeah.
So the one thing about my father and my brothers, touch me. Yo, Zanel. And they will go for you. So they are protectors. So my family is a family of people that protect, but they will never expect. So it's not an expectation. It's a choice. So I made a choice that this is what I'll do. I call my brother Ubuti. He's 2 years older than me, you know, and Ubuti, my younger brother, when he speaks, I mean, I think because of, when I look at the world, for me, manners are everything. And I put that to manners. When people talk to, about as if by and I go like, shh, that is, you know, I've always said, I respect my brothers and they give me respect. A person that taught me to shoot is my younger brother. My brothers don't see me as a girl. They see me as a boy because I'm a tomboy within that context of isiZulu. I know at home we're a bit weird because we don't conform, but I still do things. You go like, okay, that does not make sense. When a lot of people see my younger brother, he's like very quiet and very respectful and very reserved. And I touch him, you will see the other side of him. And so at home, we're like that. When I'm unhappy with my dad, I'm able to say, Baba, no.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work. And people go like, but that's not the Zulu way.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun and we need to be so open-minded because for me it's fascinating that you're able to live in both worlds.
Yes.
and be that. And I also ask myself what the consequences are of those two worlds. And I'm not saying that the two worlds need to change in any way. I do a lot of diversity conversations for organizations and there was a time where I did some work in one of the banks and the man would say that he'd go home and he would talk about his wife and his kids and he was the protector and he was this. And when he came to work, it came with him where he wanted to protect the female employees. He wanted to, you know, they were mindful, for example, that they wouldn't give certain work to the female employees because she's just had a child and she's just had this. And without conversation, the role of being a protector, but these are women and women need to be treated like this and women needed to be treated like that. That bleeding over into the workspace was the reason why we struggled with diversity and inclusion and the equal growth of the women in that organization in that space. And he said in his mind, he can see the disjoint, but he couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
And when his daughters who went to work would complain about how they were being treated, he could see how that looked like at home. And he could see how he was doing it, but he couldn't stop doing it, hoping that the man at his daughter's job could also stop doing it. So unless we have these conversations and we are aware, he can then now start to have the conversation at work and say, these are my assumptions about how I treat my girls at home. He's a dad with only girls. These are the assumptions that I treat my girls at home. I may bring that onto the workspace. What are your thoughts on how you want to be engaged, treated to enable your career? Because you're here for a career. Mm. You're not here for anything else. You're not here
to be a daughter.
You're not here to be a daughter, but you're still a female and I still see you as a daughter because I've got a daughter like you at home. You know, so we need to have these conversations and build within us a bandwidth of acceptance.
But again, remember, Zanele, when we're different, we don't do what society expects. You wouldn't expect me to do martial arts, being somebody who says Baba, right? Because it's a lot of women within, I've seen people saying, oh, but that's dangerous. I'm like, why?
Mm.
You know, the fact that I could shoot a gun, and being a businesswoman and stuff, that is unusual, right?
Mm.
I don't need a man to protect me. I can protect myself. For me, I'd like to think I can protect my brothers. But if you listen to me saying, but, you know, to my dad, I enjoy giving, you know, kneeling and giving him a tray of food. You go like, but it doesn't. Mm. So what happens in my home is not determined. So I don't do what society do. I do me. And what makes sense to me and in my environment.
But you are doing what society expects. Society expects women at home to do that. And you are doing that. But then you step out of home and you then still, you unlock your maverick and you unlock your crazy self and you unlock your tough self. You unlock whatever it is that you wanna do. And you live that. And I think that's what's to be celebrated, that you do have a choice. You have a choice to be that which you want to be within the home space. By the way, I don't do the kneeling thing because I wasn't raised to do the kneeling thing. And when I do it, I'm quite tall. So it's a lot of kneeling on a lot of space, you know, and it looks absolutely clumsy. I don't know where to put my leg and, you know, and how to hold up this thing. I don't do that, but it's upbringing as well. My dad never expected us to do that. You know, he was just happy with a tray of food in front of him. And I expect my kids to do to be the tidying up. I'm not cleaning up after them. So we have the choice to do that, which we need to do at home. And then we need to be conscious about who we decide to be and who we choose to be. And the environment that we find ourselves in, the environments have also got to accept the choices that we make. You know, I also just think it's all about awareness. It's all about conversation. It's all about just having the courage to just ask the questions that are difficult to ask. Sometimes when you don't even know that you need to ask them, but try and ask to create an environment that's accepting of us as equals.
As people,
as people.
And we let, you know, when you ask, you would know. When we assume, we will get it wrong. Oftentimes, I mean, I work with traditional leaders. For me, I love the fact, as you say, is I've got the two worlds where I sit in the boardroom and become a board member. And you know what? I am not submissive to anyone. I hold my own. But when I get to spaces, I mean, I don't do the kneeling, you know, to my husband because I've got these different worlds and I'm conscious. I know who I am because he's not my dad. He's my partner and he's my best friend, right? But my parent is not saying you will do this. It's a choice I made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in that environment. I chose to not all my brothers and sisters do what I do. I do me. I literally, Zanella, I enjoy doing that. I enjoy taking food to my dad and, you know, And saying, Baba, here's your food. I enjoy doing things that make me feel comfortable. That is why when somebody listens to this and go like, but she's very confusing. On the one hand, she does what, you know, is not expected of a woman. On the one hand, so I move from one extreme to the next extreme. That is why I always say, I do me and I don't want, it's okay when people misunderstand me, but ask me. Don't assume because when you assume, then that is when you, as you know, people always say, oh, this is how black people behave. I hate that. Stereotype. No, this is how I behave at my home. And this is how I behave and at my space. That some of the people that I work with now, because I am aware that this is somebody else's husband, I make a choice to say booty. Butisban, it's a choice I'm making.
Wow.
Mr. So and so, it's a choice I'm making. It's a conscious decision that I'm making. I mean, I work in the rural space, whatever. Nobody says Nontlantla, you will say Babuzban. Nontlantla has made that decision to say Babuzban. Butisban.
And I think it's so true. It's about the decision you make and about listening to your environment and seeing what your environment asks you to do. You know, for me, it's not natural. For you, it's natural. For me, it's not natural.
Yeah.
But I also haven't gone and said, I'm not going to do it. You know, and they call me Miss Morrison and every time they do it, I get so nervous. Oh my God. And I look around and, you know, but they call me Miss Morrison, I think, oh wow, what a different world, right? Yeah. And I try to do the same, you know, sometimes I get it and I stumble all over myself because and they can see that I'm very anxious about it, but I'm doing it, you know, and I'm respecting the space and I'm understanding that environment. And there's probably a lot that I miss because I'm not very politically savvy. It's something that I work on, but it's about understanding where I am and how I need to be within that space. But it's been a journey for me that has been just so humbling. Life has been a journey that's been so humbling. And I think I've loved having you on board, because I think the conversation is about just the authenticity and the acceptance of taking this journey and taking you. It requires a lot of courage.
Yeah.
It requires a lot of courage. It's taken me so long. You know, every time it takes me a bit long, but it, being you and just being authentically you and showing up as an Unhlanhla and being okay with that, we can only but benefit. You know, we can benefit. I can only benefit from knowing such an authentic person, in you. So I want to wish you luck.
Thank you.
I say I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed this. And, you know, if nothing else, I hope somebody out there knows that you've got choices in life. Do you? You know, whatever it is that you do, people are going to judge you. So as long as you're comfortable and you're okay with you, you know, they say, when you wake up and you walk in the street, somebody's going to find fault. And so if you block out all the noise and you know, this is who you are and this is your value to the world. And so I want to leave a legacy where somebody can say, you know, there was this woman and this is what she did. And she did it her own way. So I am daring to dream.
Mm.
And so I hope, you know, I can inspire someone to dare to be different and to dare to dream. So thank you so much, Zanele, for inviting me. I've enjoyed myself.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think you're going to come back though. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you really enjoyed this conversation with Unhlanhla. Please look her up. We'll probably be chatting on LinkedIn. So she is there. She's posted it and you can have a look on my page as well. And I'm sure you can find her and we can really dialogue with her. My ducks are not yet in a row, but we'll survive. We are a work in progress. We have no staff. Do share your feedback though on LinkedIn. That'll be the easiest for me for now. Wendy's out there and he's put up his hand to actually help me. So thank you so much, Wendy. Your feedback so far has been amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Special thank you to Zimasa Mabuse for some of the insights and edits she helped me to pull together for this episode. Thanks to the team who are generously sharing their expertise and support. Great. Okay, bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.